This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
Tens of thousands of people around the world have been killed in a variety of methods by multiple Islamic jihadi fundamentalists. Whether they're in Al-Qaeda, Boko Haram, Hamas, ISIS, or the Muslim Brotherhood, they're all the same. They kill civilians in cold blood. Yes, these Muslims are driven by a passion not understood by most Westerners. They are committed to killing any unwilling to submit to the laws of Allah and a lifestyle commensurate with the Quran. They are also willing to put their own lives at risk for the perceived privilege to die a martyr's death for Allah. And what many are missing in all this is what's in the shadow, the theological backstory that gives context to the jihadi's dedication and self-sacrifice. The hadiths provide this information. They describe an al-Mahdi's return and what will precede his arrival. And it is not encouraging news. So many will ask, what is the Islamic al-Mahdi? Who is this? Is he alive today? And where will he come from? Will he be Sunni or Shia? Will he be a descendant from Muhammad? And what connection does all this have with the current frenzied violence caused by this mixture of Islamic fundamentalism? Well, on today's program, we will explore these questions, hoping to add context to this overwhelming rise of Islamic terrorism and what the al-Mahdi's role is in all this chaos.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Bill Watson.
Well, hello, and again, welcome to another international telecast of the Armor of God. Good to be with all of you once again. You know, I'm not going to belabor the fact that we are living in some very brutal times. You know it as well as I do. There seems to be skirmishes and wars and rumors of wars in almost every corner now of the globe. A lot of tension, a lot of stress and anxiety being associated with a lot of cultures on a lot of continents all over the world. And there are multiple sources that are feeding a lot of this tension from all over the world that are adding to the angst that so many today feel in respect to some of these tumultuous times that we live in. And one of those areas, my friends, that you and I are very familiar with and have grown to become very familiar with, especially over the last decade and a half or so, is terrorism. Islamic fundamentalists. And I use that term for a specific reason, because I think sometimes some of us get the wrong idea when the media, the general press, spins the terminology and says that they're radical Islamists or they're extremists. No, no, no. These people are religious people who fundamentally believe that what the Quran literally says is what they need to be doing. And so consequently, they do as they read or as they think they're being told by their God, Allah. And so they fundamentally take their words or take his words very literally. And so because we have this misconception about Islamists and jihadis, we tend to think that they are separate, that they're disconnected somehow to Islam, that they're really not Muslims. But my friends, they are. The truth of the matter is they are Islamic fundamentalists. Let me share with you a particular definition taken off of the World Atlas website. Bear with me here, and I'm quoting. Religious fundamentalism refers to the belief of an individual or a group of individuals in the absolute authority of a sacred religious text or teachings of a particular religious leader, prophet, and/or God. These fundamentalists believe that their religion is beyond any form of criticism and should therefore also be forced upon others. I continue. For fundamentalists, religion dictates every sphere of their daily lives, and they also attempt to involve the entire society into their own belief system, often by the use of force. Under the heading Fundamentalism Around the World, I quote, "Islam is also a religion riddled with fundamentalists. The Islamic fundamentalists believe in the literal," that's the operative, "the literal interpretation of the Holy Quran and the Hadiths, an attempt to enforce the Sharia law into every aspect of Islamic life." I continue. "Many Islamic terrorist organizations such as Al-Qaeda, Boko Haram, ISIS also hold fundamentalist attitudes and regard Western civilization as the symbol of the secular modernization that is a threat to the traditional Islamic values." New heading, ongoing implications, and I continue, quote, "Extreme fundamentalism in today's world is responsible for much misery, claiming many lives of innocent people." And we see it being played out all over the world, don't we? Here recently, we saw a 19-ton truck over in Nice, France, run down dozens of people, literally killing them right on the spot in cold blood. If you remember the Bataclan nightclub, here a handful of terrorists went into that place with a rock and roll band on the stage, shooting up everybody, eviscerating them, going ahead and beheading them. It was a very brutal situation, in some cases even causing the security and police officers and first responders to vomit in public because it was such a bloody mess. And that's not to discount the fact of what occurred over there in Orlando at the homosexual nightclub called The Pulse. Many of us remember that story, or what happened in San Bernardino with the husband and wife team shooting up, I don't know, a dozen or so people there in California. This goes on and on, being driven by very hateful, passionate, angry people, my friends. And the reality of it is that they believe that they're doing God a service. And what is most disturbing about this is that they're not afraid to die in the process. Even if it requires themselves to kill themselves, they will go ahead and do it because they're jihadis. And we have a misunderstanding about that. These people that are jihadis are struggling. They are applying. That's what jihadi means. They struggle. They apply. But in this case, they're struggling warriors. And they are struggling for the cause of Islam because they want to advance it, because they're focused on the subjugation of the whole world to Sharia law. That's what they want. And that's what is causing them to continue to drive the way they do in their fundamental beliefs about what they fundamentally believe to be literally upon them. And don't kid yourself, even many moderate Muslims, to varying degrees, believe that Sharia law should indeed be advanced. Well, before I go on with more detail about this, I want to interrupt myself because I got a lot to say today with respect to Islam. But I want to interrupt myself, as we usually do, to present to you two free offers. One is a booklet. You can probably read it in one sitting. It's not that large. It's titled Islam, A Prophetic Consideration. In other words, should we be concerned prophetically about Islam? And a one-hour presentation from a colleague of mine, Mr. Van Stinson, titled Islamic Antichrist. A very good presentation with respect to the details of where I'm going to go a little bit with this presentation. Both are free. All you got to do is dial that 888 number 578-8791. Leave us your contact information, and we'll be sure to try to get these two free offers out to you as soon as we can. And let me remind you also of our weekly feature webcasting opportunity that we provide every week, every Saturday. All you've got to do is go to our homepage, hit on the link there at the time that is displayed, and you can listen in on a 1 hour or so presentation from a minister of the Church of God International or a visiting speaker who will be speaking out on some issue or topic that I'm sure you will find helpful to you in the development of your relationship with God. But one more time on these free offers: Islam, a prophetic consideration, and the Islamic Antichrist, a CD, a 1 hour presentation. Go ahead, dial that number, 888-578-8791, and or that website at www.cgi.org. Now, back to the program here and what we've been talking about with respect to Islam and Muslims. I mean, you and I know that in so many of these cases and areas, my friends, that Muslims are religious people. Islam is indeed a faith. It has certain tenets. These tenets, these religious doctrines and teachings, if one adheres to them, requires certain behaviors. And these behaviors essentially drive them to do certain things. And in all due respect to the jihadis, these struggling warriors in this particular case, as they apply what they literally believe fundamentally from what they understand the Quran to tell them, they proceed with doing what they're doing in their advancement of what they believe to be the right thing to do for Sharia law. And this is part of the problem, because in their advancement of this, the idea of them being dominant and with the objective of subjugating all peoples to Sharia, they have a hard time assimilating. That's right. That's why you find little communities and neighborhoods over there in the city of London, or over in Paris, or maybe over in the area of Detroit, in areas up in Minnesota, and areas in Tennessee, where there are pockets of these neighborhoods where these Muslim folks do not assimilate into the culture that they're embedded in, the host countries, because the fact of it is, most Muslims today live outside the Middle East. That's right. I don't know how many of you know that or not, but that's the truth. Most Muslims live outside the Middle East, so therefore they've migrated to other countries, other nations, other cultures. And the constitutions of many of these nations, be it France, be it England, be it the United States or Canada, oftentimes finds itself in conflict with the Muslim community, because most constitutional laws, secular laws of these nations, do not blend or conform to what Sharia law requires. Because, see, what we have to begin to understand is Islam is indeed a religion, and it is driven by passionate beliefs. And one of the underscoring beliefs that many people do not recognize, that actually is an enormous motivator, is up on the wall here. You can see it there in the title block, is this idea of an al-Mahdi. Now, what is that? Well, that is the understanding and basically the teaching and the doctrine of what they believe to be their Messiah. That's right, my friends. They believe that the al-Mahdi is the one who is going to basically free them from all of the troubles, all of the concerns, and all of the problems the world has today. Let me quote to you from the chairman of the Islamic Supreme Council of America. I quote, "The coming of the Mahdi is established doctrine for both Sunni and Shia Muslims, indeed for all humanity." That's right, my friends. You see, the two most prominent segments or legs of Islam, Sunnis and Shias or Shiites, believe in this Messiah. They believe that they have, some call him the 12th Imam, others call him the al-Mahdi or the Mahdi. But the fact of it is, many of them believe the same thing. This Messiah, this Savior, is in fact going to bring peace, restore prosperity, help them to essentially establish Sharia law on the whole world, to allow mankind to avoid self-destruction. That's right. He, that is mankind, is looking forward, though we don't know it, most of us, but if you're Muslim, you know it, that in the personage of the Almighty, he will bring this time of peace. And there's a lot of parallels associated with descriptions that we find in the Bible, in Isaiah 2, Micah 4, Isaiah chapter 11, that portrays this millennial rule of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God on earth. But in the Muslim narrative, in the Hadith, and how it explains and adds enhancement to the Quran, it claims similar kinds of descriptions, similar kinds of solutions. Let me quote again from this gentleman, Sheikh Kabbani, who is essentially the chairman of the Islamic Supreme Council of America. And I quote, "Jews are waiting for the Messiah. Christians are waiting for Jesus. And Muslims are waiting for both the Mahdi and Jesus. All religions describe them as men coming to save the world." That's right. There's even one segment of Islamists, Muslims, who believe that when the Mahdi returns, he's going to bring Isa, or Isa, depending on how you want to pronounce it, who they claim is Jesus. They claim is Jesus. He's going to be kind of like the field manager, the field lieutenant. And he's going to help the Mahdi establish this utopia, this paradise, this kingdom of God on earth that is going to subjugate all of mankind under Sharia law. And what's most disturbing about this is that they believe, many of the imams believe today, especially many of the Islamic fundamentalists believe today, they're right on track. That's right. They believe that they are right on track. Let me quote again from this chairman, Mr. Sheikh Kabbani, and as he states and confirms this very fact, "Hadith indicates that black flags coming from the area of Khorasan will signify the appearance of the Mahdi in Nai. Khorasan is in today's Iran, and some scholars have said that this hadith means when the black flags appear from Central Asia in the direction of Khorasan, then the appearance of the Mahdi is imminent. Another tradition states, the messenger of Allah said, the black banners will come from the east and their hearts will be as firm as iron. Whoever hears of them should join them and give allegiance, even if it means crawling across the snow." That's right, my friends. What we see here are, in fact, two flags. One flag is white, and that flag goes by the name of the Al-Liwa, or Liwa, and it represents the government. The other flag is the black flag, and is labeled the Araya, and it represents the Muslim army. That's right. So you have a white flag, and you have a black flag. The white flag represents the government. The black flag represents the Muslim army. Now, the backstory to all of this is when Muhammad came back from Mecca. I'm sorry, when he returned to Mecca after 8 years of isolation in exile in Medina, he proceeds to acquire about 10,000 guys with carrying black flags with the word punishment on it, and of course proceeds to do what he did, and that was to slaughter thousands of people in his return back to Mecca. But in all due respect, this is where we get the Arab saying, prepare for the coming of the black flags. An Islamic tradition points to the fact of this Al-Mahdi, this 12th Imam, actually returning, manifesting, emerging onto the world scene, grabbing a black flag, cooperating with and embedding himself in the Muslim army, and then proceeding to attack Jerusalem and slaughter all the Jews, and sets up world ruling government in Jerusalem. And from Jerusalem, the law, Sharia law, proceeds out all over the world to subjugate mankind into the freedom of their God's law, Allah. I hope you ladies will appreciate that as you wear your burqas, because that's what we're talking about. Sharia law will become the law of the land, and in all due respect, individuals will have to adhere to it. Now, two authors, a Muhammad Izzat and Muhammad Arif, mentioned this, and I'm going to quote, "The Mahdi will be victorious and eradicate those pigs and dogs and the idols of the time, so that there will once more be a caliphate based on the prophethood, as the hadith states. Jerusalem will be the location of the rightly guided caliphate and the center of Islamic rule, which will be headed by the Imam al-Mahdi." Now, again, granted, the al-Mahdi or the 12th Imam, whichever way you want to choose, depending on whether you're Sunni or whether you're Shiite, the fact of it is, this is the Messiah. And this Messiah is going to usher in peace to all of humanity. And if you see any kind of similarities to the Bible with this, well, you know what? You are correct. Because there is a lot of similarities with the Bible. For instance, let me take you over here just for your own edification to Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6, and in verse 2, we read this. "And I saw and behold a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering to conquer." They identify this description with the Mahdi, the 12th Imam, coming, because they claim, some of them do, he will be returning on a white horse. And consequently, when he does, he will, for all intents and purposes, begin to then land and establish this Sharia law on earth. Notice this over here. Let me take you over here to Daniel chapter 7 for a moment. Daniel, and in chapter 7, we read some descriptions with respect to the kingdom of God. Very interesting, because again, they identify this with the Mahdi, with the 12th Imam. Here in verse 18, we read this, "But the saints," that's the Muslims, the Islamists, "the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever." And over here in verse 27, we read, after the summary and additional detail is discussed by the prophet Daniel of God's kingdom, and of course the beast and the 10 horns mentioned up there in verse 24, we read here in verse 27, "And the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him." Imagine that, amazingly, taking scripture right out of the Old Testament and the New Testament, and then extrapolating that over into what they believe to be what the Quran and the Hadiths describe as the ultimate return of their Messiah to establish their law over all the world. Amazing, my friends. And you may say, well, Bill, how do they justify that? How can they do that? Because, of course, the Bible has been here many, many years, actually centuries, millennia, before the Quran was ever even in the idea of Muhammad, because Muhammad never did live until almost, you know, about 600 AD or so, before he was visited, allegedly, by Gabriel, the angel who gave him all of the dialogue that ultimately manifested itself as the Quran. So you say, you know, well, how do they work through that? How do they justify extrapolating these scriptures onto their religious base? Very simply, the Bible's corrupt. It's nothing but a bunch of lies. This book and all the standards and values that it represents have really been skewed over the years. You can't depend on this, they say, and they claim. And so therefore, there's really no basis for debate with a jihadi, that is an individual associated with Islam, who is in the struggle, who's applying the religious tenets of their faith. Because you see, this has no credible purpose in the discussion or in the debate. And if you're going to use this as a reference to leverage your argument as though it would be correct more so than theirs, they would just essentially dismiss it simply because they believe this book, both Old and New Testament, has been corrupted. So corrupted that, believe it or not, my friends, believe it or not, they believe and fully will express this, that Ishmael was the promised son or was the promised child, not Jacob. That story has been turned upside down, inside out, and as a result is not true in the way it's written in the Old Testament. You see, because Ishmael, as far as they're concerned, was indeed the promised son of the birthright and all the blessings that followed that were, of course, as we understand in the narrative of the Old Testament, passed down to Isaac, who passed it down to Jacob, who passed it down to Joseph, who split the birthright promises to his two boys, Manasseh and Ephraim, and of course the scepter promise of the King of Kings and the real Messiah, Jesus the Christ, coming down through the lineage of the tribe of Judah. My friends, there is just so much to talk about on this topic. Again, let me interrupt myself. Time's run out on me here. Go ahead and dial that 888 number, 888-578-8791. Ask for both of these free offers, a little booklet called Islam, a prophetic consideration. Should we be concerned about Islam, prophetically speaking? And a one-hour presentation by my colleague, Mr. Van Stinson, on the Islamic Antichrist. Very good presentation. I'm sure you'll find it very educational, highly informative in helping you to orient yourself toward what this very, very broad subject. So once again, let me remind all of you there, 888-578-8791, and of course that website at www.cgi.org. My friends, we have a lot to consider when one considers the religion of Islam. And don't sell these Islamic fundamentalists short. They are religious, and they are driven by the vision and commitment of what they believe to be the messianic return of their Savior, who's going to right all wrongs for mankind and consequently invoke Sharia law globally. So, my friends, you stay strong. Keep on that armor of God, and we'll try and continue to keep you informed about all of these growing issues that we find ourselves surrounded by. Until next time, you stay strong, and we'll see you later.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by The Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at 3900 Thames Street, Tyler, Texas, 75701, or call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791, or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at www.cgi.org or email us at armorofgodcgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.